We have Children's Church 8 and under every Sunday. This week's a little bit different, and it's because of the content of my message. And what I'm preaching this morning, I believe every child needs to know, and every child needs to learn. But I know we have some newer Christians in our church and young families, and they need to hear it first from you, and then I'll be preaching on it. Some of the stuff I've already preached, but we're going to be looking at some detail in the Scriptures on it. Go to Romans chapter number 12, Romans chapter number 12. And we're going to look at these things, and again, you might not mind if your child did hear some of these things. I think they need to know them. They need to be taught them. But if they've never heard it before, I think the conversation needs to come from you to start off with. Romans chapter number 12, and we're going to look at the first two verses as our text this morning. And again, we do appreciate everyone being here this morning. We've got some visitors that are here, and we pray the service is a blessing to you. If I didn't recognize you earlier as a first-time visitor, if you've been here two or three times, you're not a visitor anymore. You're just a misplaced church member if you haven't joined yet, amen? All right, Romans chapter number 12, and we're going to begin reading verse number 1. If you found your place, if you would, say amen. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1, the Bible says, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now we find here in this verse a challenge given to Christians that we're to present our bodies a living sacrifice. You say, what does that mean? We are supposed to give ourselves and our lives to God so He could use it for His glory and His honor. The Bible says over in, I believe it's 2 Corinthians chapter 6, somewhere there around 19 or 20, that once you're saved, you no longer belong to yourself. You are bought with a price. You are bought with the blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary. And these verses give us some things as a child of God that we're supposed to do and some things that we're not supposed to do. Now, how many of you today would raise your hand and say that you have a desire to please God in every way? Say, Brother Andrew, I desire to please God. That's something I want. There's some of you that might not desire that. Don't raise your hand if you don't. How many would say that I desire to obey God's word in every way? Say, I desire to do that. I want to do that. My heart's desire is to obey God and to obey His word. How many of you would like to have the blessings of God in your home and in your family? I would. I'm raising my hand. All right, let me ask you these questions as a way of introduction. Are you willing to be holy? If you want those things in your life and you want the blessings of God in your life and in your home and you want God to be pleased with you and you want to obey God's word, are you willing to be holy? To be set apart from this world? Are you willing to be acceptable unto God? Say, how can I be acceptable unto God? You obey His word. You obey what He has in His word. Are you willing to not be conformed to this world? Whenever you conform something to something, it shapes around it. With this bottle here, I can conform my hand around it. I've got it in my hand, and it almost becomes a part of my hand, and I can control it. And too many Christians today are conformed to the world. They take their life and their marriage and their children and they conform it to the world, whatever will please the world, the fads, the fashions of the world, and all those things, and they conform their life around it instead of the Word of God. But if you want God to bless your home and your family, and you want to please God in every way, like we raised our hand, are you willing to be acceptable unto God? Are you willing to be holy? Are you willing to not conform to this world? Are you willing to present your bodies a living sacrifice before God? Whenever we get through with the message this morning, I'm going to preach and show you some things. And this is going to be a series of messages. It's not going to be enough time to cover it all this morning. But the title of the series is The Highest Standard. The Highest Standard. Now, a few weeks ago, I preached a series of messages on the measure of success. We looked at the blessed man over in Psalms chapter number 1. And we looked at the fact that he does not behave like the wicked. He does not belong with the wicked. He does not believe like the wicked. The Bible over there talks about, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. If you want to be a blessed man of God and your home wants to be blessed, you're not going to behave like the wicked, you're not going to believe like the wicked, and you don't belong joined up with the wicked. If you want the blessings of God in your home. And so we looked at those things. And we looked at how to have the measure of success in your home and in your life. And that was a preface or to try to get into this message this morning on the highest standard. Now, I believe that as a child of God, we ought to have the standard. We ought to set the standard, not the world. Hollywood should not tell us how to dress. Hollywood should not tell us what to wear. Hollywood should not depict what our family should be like. I'm telling you, there's not very many shows, if any, that are decent on television anymore. Hey, are y'all all right this morning? I know this is probably got a lot of visitors. Thank you for being here. Amen. This is what God told me to preach. But whenever there's so many lives in Christians' homes today that they allow Hollywood and they allow the world to form what their family looks like. The family today in the world is dysfunctional. It's dysfunctional. Mom is fighting against dad, dad's fighting against mom, the kids are fighting against them, and the television shows depict it. These shows, these Disney shows and all these things, they show you what your family should look like, and so people say, well, my family's normal. Why? Because it looks just like the family on television. That's not what God wants your family to be. Amen. That's not what God wants your family to be. But sadly enough, the Christian home today has conformed to the world. What's the world standard? I'm telling you, the world has a very low standard. Marriage is between a man and a woman. That's God's standard for marriage. The world says, do whatever you want to do. There's a man, I think it was in Texas. He tried to get a marriage license to marry his laptop. Where are we going in this world? There's a man over out in Cambodia or somewhere. He tried to get a marriage license to marry his pillow. There's another lady, I was reading an article, that she tried to get a marriage license to marry a dolphin. We've done opened up the can of worms, though, now. I mean, we've opened it up in America by saying that by redefining marriage. But the world standard is very low. And I think as a child of God, if you want to please God and you want the blessings of God in your home and you want to obey the Word of God, then you should have a high standard and say, this is where I'm going to set the bar. I'm not going to set it to the world standards, but if the world wants to come where I'm at, they're going to have to raise their standards. If you look at the world 50 years ago, 60 years ago, 100 years ago, and you look at some old pictures, man, people used to dress nice when they went out in public. I'm not talking about just wearing a suit and tie everywhere you go, but they look like decent people. Now you go to Walmart and they're wearing pajamas. How far is the stand? Do not wear pajamas to Walmart. If you do, don't tell them you go to this church. Tell them you go to the one down the road. You go, man, they look like, I mean, you say, when's the last time you brushed your hair? They look like complete bums. Now, back in the day, man, they dressed up for every time they went to town. The farmer would get on his suit and tie or whatever to go to town. They would look decent. They would dress up to look nice. But now, the standard has just dropped completely down. The standard has fallen apart. But as a child of God, we ought to have some standards. You say, what's a standard? It is a place that you set up that God's Word, not you, that God's Word sets up, that as a Christian, you ought to live up to that as a child of God. And I'm telling you, God will tremendously bless you for it. And I want to look at a few subjects, and I know it's controversial, I know it's not popular, I know it's old-fashioned, but I don't care, it's the Word of God. And I believe I'm obligated as a pastor to preach the things in this Bible. And to help you, and I feel like I'm doing a disjustice if I don't tell you how God says we ought to live and how God says we ought to set up our family. I'm doing you an injustice, and I'm robbing you of a blessing of God in your life if I don't stand up and preach what I'm about to preach. We ought to have the highest standard. There ought to be something different between us and the world. And I'm going to look at a couple subjects, and if God keeps giving it to me, we'll keep preaching. But I'm going to look at the area of clothing. We're going to look at that this morning, and I don't know if we'll get into any more than that, but then I'm going to look at the issue of courting. when it comes to young people and raising your children and what the Bible says about it, courting and dating, then I'm going to look at compositions. You say, what's that? I'm talking about music, the way our music. And then I'm going to look at conduct and how we ought to conduct. You know, the Bible tells us about all these things. It tells us how we ought to live. But you know what the thing is today? Society has changed us and has brainwashed us to the point that we completely forgot what the Word of God says about how we ought to live. Why? Because the world has set a standard. The preacher said it this last weekend at the meeting. I've heard it before. Brother John, you come help me real quick. I got to get to preaching or we're going to go over. All right, so Brother Johnny is the world. He's a worldly man. All right, he's the world. I'm the church. Now, the church has done a good job at keeping a safe distance from the world. This is where the world is. This is where the church is. They've maintained distance, but they have not remained the position. What do you mean by that? Brother John, I start walking forward. There's where the world is. All right, 10 years go by. Now there's the world, and here's the church. Why? We're just so many steps behind the world. Now walk forward some more. You get what I'm saying? Where should the church be? Back where God put them. Amen. But instead, it's music, dress, our homes, our families, the things we allow in our home, we've kept distance from the world instead of remaining positioned where God wants us to be. And I want to look at some things this morning. Thank you, Brother Johnny. Are y'all okay? All right. So I want to look at a few things. Turn over to 1 Timothy chapter number 2. 1 Timothy, and I know this is different. I know it's old-fashioned. He said, Brother Andrew, you're a young man. You should be a millennial, and you should be accepting all the things and trying to grow the church. I'm telling you, our church is growing and God's blessing it, but it's done by the Word of God and by God doing a work in homes. By the Holy Spirit doing a work. It's not by a rock band. It's not by entertainment. It's by the Word of God. I know the recipe for growing a mega church. We could do it. Get rid of every standard that we have as a church and as a family and as a home and let anything go and anything come in and we could grow a mega church. We could do it, but we're not going to. Amen. We're going to stick with God's Word. All right, 1 Timothy chapter number 2. I'm going to look at a few things. Number one this morning, Christians should have the highest standard when it comes to clothing, when it comes to our dress. 1 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse number 9. Now, I'm not talking about wearing a suit to church this morning. I'm not talking about dressing up. I'm not talking about wearing a three-piece suit. I'm not talking about that. I'm going to deal with three things. I'm going to deal with nakedness, modesty, and identity. That's what we're going to look at this morning. 1 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse number 9. The Bible says, in like manner also, that women adorn themselves in what? Modest apparel, with shamefacedness, and sobriety, not with broided hair, or gold, or pearls, or costly array. That's how it ought to be. All right? A Christian should always be modest, not just on Sundays. It should not just be a Sunday thing that a Christian is modest and dress up. Not dress up, but be modest in their apparel. All right? Let's look at this very quickly. Turn over your Bibles to Exodus chapter number 28. We got to turn quickly, so I'll preach quickly. Turn quickly and I'll preach quickly. Amen. When it comes to clothing, there are really three issues. I just mentioned them. Nakedness, modesty, and identity. Whenever you look at a man or a woman, you ought to be able to tell that's a man or that's a woman. Just by looking at them, by looking at their clothes and what they wear and looking at them, the way they carry themselves and their hair and all those things, you ought to be able to look at them and say, that is a woman. I'm telling you today, go to the mall. You'll be as confused as a termite in a yo-yo trying to figure out who's who and who's what and what flavor they are. Amen? You don't even know if they're a man or they're a woman. As a child of God, it ought to be obvious. Amen? It ought to be obvious. Over and over and over again in the Bible talks about how it is shameful, shameful for you to be naked. Now, the question that comes up this morning is, what is nakedness? There are some people that believe if you're wearing a wristband and nothing else, then you've got clothes on and you're not naked. There are some people that believe that if you go down to the beach and you're wearing a bikini, that you're clothed. That's what their mindset is. They say, I'm not naked. I've got a bikini on. Well, let me ask you this. If them running around on the beach in a bikini, they're okay. But you were to walk into a room and they're wearing their undergarments and they get ashamed and back off. What's the difference? Amen. They say there is. They don't look at me. I'm naked. Well, wait a minute. You were just on the beach in a bikini. Why were you not naked there, but now you're naked? Amen. The world's got different definitions of what naked is. And I'm going to show you what the Bible says about it. Now, there's people that think that you can wear like a string bikini or a man can just wear a pair of underwear out to the beach or whatever it might be, and wear that and say, well, I'm clothed. But then I also can go extreme in the other direction. There's a lot of Muslim women. All you can see is their eyeballs. Got one extreme to the other, amen? You say, what's right? What does the Bible say? The Bible defines nakedness from being from the neck to the knees. In between, that is what is considered naked. Amen? Anything that's exposed between there is considered nakedness. Amen? All right, Exodus chapter number 28. Look at me in verse number 39. I know this isn't popular, but it's what the Bible teaches us. Amen? And we want to please God. Do we not? And I know this isn't popular because we're going into lake season. And we're going into beach season. Amen? But the Bible is what it is, man. You can't get around it. As a child of God, we ought to have a higher standard. The Bible says in Exodus 28, if you're there, say amen. Amen. Exodus 28, verse 39, and thou shalt embroider the coat of fine linen. He's telling these priests how they ought to dress, and he starts off with a coat which covers the whole top part, does it not? All right, and thou shalt make the mitre of fine linen, and thou shalt make the girdle of needlework, and for Aaron's sons thou shalt make coats. And thou shalt make them for them girdles and bonnets. Thou shalt make for them for glory and for beauty. And thou shalt put them upon Aaron thy brother and his sons with them. And thou shalt anoint them and consecrate them and sanctify them that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. And thou shalt make them linen breeches, pants, to cover their what? Nakedness from the loins even unto the thighs. Shall they reach? You know what that is? It's from right here to your knees. The Bible said if you expose anything between that and there, what did the Bible just call it? Called it nakedness. You know what I see a lot? Just go out today from church. You know how much nakedness you'll see? That's what the Bible's called nakedness. Now the world has perverted it. And they've convinced us in Hollywood and all those things that a woman or a man has to be completely naked with not one stitch of clothing. That's considered nakedness. The Bible says that it's considered from the neck down. If you expose those areas, that's considered nakedness. Is that not what we just read? Did y'all read it with me? We all said we want to follow God's word. Look at Isaiah chapter 47. I want to show you these verses because if you don't read them, you're not going to believe me. I don't want you to believe me. I want you to believe God's word. I'm not out to hurt anybody, I promise you. The only reason I'm doing this is God told me to do it, and it's for your benefit, for God to bless you, to bless my home. God's blessed our family for following these principles, and these are standards that we have in our home. Amen? They're standards. You're not going to see my wife out in a pair of booty shorts. Not going to, because we have a standard in our home. It's like God says that's nakedness, we're not going to do it. She wears a pair of basketball shorts or she wears a pair of culottes or something that covers up her knee and you cannot see her thigh, then she's fine. Amen? And I know this will hair lip some of the brethren about boys wearing shorts, but there's nothing that says they got to go all the way to your ankle. I can't find it in the Bible. I don't know if it's... if you find it, you let me know. Amen? But it says from down here to the knee. Amen? Are y'all all right?
Amen.
All right. Isaiah chapter 47, verse number 1. Isaiah 47, verse number 1. Come down and sit in the dust. O virgin daughter of Babylon, sit on the ground. There is no throne. O daughter of Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. Take the millstones and grind meal. Uncover thy locks. Listen. Make bare the leg. Uncover the what? The thigh. Pass over the rivers. Thy what? Nakedness shall be uncovered, yea, thy shame shall be seen. Man, woman, it is a shame, The Bible says a shame for you to be naked. And if you're revealing that thigh, if you're revealing that area between your waist and your kneecap, the Bible says that's nakedness. That's what God considers nakedness. You say, well, the world considers it to be something. I don't care what the world says. We're following the Word of God. God considers it to be nakedness. Amen. It's not me. Don't get mad at me. You take it up with God. Get mad at Him if you want to get mad over it. This is His Word, and that's what He considers to be nakedness. Let me show you just a couple more verses. Look at I'm gonna read this one because we're still here in Isaiah. Look at Isaiah 20. Isaiah chapter number 20. Well, that's not the norm. That's not the fashion of the world. It's normal for all the girls to go to school and have their legs exposed and wear those real short shorts. Amen. And if they've got anything on the backside, that's usually hanging out the bottom of them. Is it not? Well, the Bible says that's nakedness. Amen. That's what God's Word says. Isaiah 20, verse number 2. You there? Say amen. Isaiah 22. At the same time spake the Lord by Isaiah the son of Amoz, saying, go and loose the sackcloth from off thy what? Thy loins. We're talking about that area between the waist and the knee. And put off thy shoe from thy foot. And he did so. After he took that off, what does the Bible say? Walking naked. We're not talking about his underwear. He took off that part of the body that God said to cover up from the waist to the knee, and God considered it to be naked and barefoot. And the Lord said, like as my servant Isaiah hath walked naked and barefoot 3 years for a sign and a wonder unto Egypt and upon Ethiopia, so shall the king of Assyria lead away the Egyptians prisoners and Ethiopians captives, young and old, naked and barefoot. Even with their what? Buttock. That's a Bible word. Amen. Don't get mad at me. If you want to get mad at that, don't watch television. Amen. With their buttocks uncovered to the shame of Egypt. You know what it says? It says their rear ends were hanging out. And he said that was to their shame. So, man, lady, if you want to walk around, man, I'm seeing these really short boat shorts come back for men. I mean, they went away for a while. You know what I'm talking about? Some of these preppy boys wearing these shorts that come up all the way up here. You know what you're doing? You're exposing nakedness. That's what the Bible says. As a Christian, you ought to have a high standard. You ought to realize that that's supposed to be covered. And when you're exposing your breast and you're exposing all that, you're exposing your waist to your thigh, that down to your knee, the Bible said that's nakedness. And if you're showing that, you're exposing nakedness. How many churches this morning I don't know if any men would have. Maybe some of them wore some real shorty shorts. You know what drives me crazy? Seeing a 60, 70-year-old man wearing little shorty shorts coming up to here and having an earring in his ear. That drives me. I'm like, man, what are you doing? 70 years old. His eagle's done turned into a buzzard that he's got on his arm from all of his skin sagging. And he's going to go out and get an earring. Come on, man. Really? Look at Nahum. That's a book in the Bible. It's in the Old Testament. Nahum. It's in the Minor Prophets. Might have to look in the front of your Bible there to find it. It's right after the book of Micah and before the book of Habakkuk. Nahum, chapter number 3. I'm just trying to show y'all from the Bible what it says. You say, all right, we've been talking about breeches and pants. What about skirts? All right, well, let's look over here. Talking about nakedness. What does the Bible define as nakedness? We have to understand that, don't we? I want to know what God says about it. If God says this is nakedness, then I'm going to say, okay, well, I need to not be naked. All right? Nahum chapter 3. There's so much more I could get into this morning, but I'm not going. Time's not going to permit us to. But I can show you some verses back there where God told the children of Israel that they were not supposed to see each other's nakedness. He started going down the list. He said, you're not supposed to see your neighbor's nakedness. You know what that means? That in mixed company, men and women shouldn't be swimming together. If you want to, I'm talking about if you're going to wear inappropriate clothing. If you want to wear shorts that cover and everything that covers everything properly, then go swimming. Praise the Lord. Amen. But I don't need to go swimming with my sister, who's a grown lady, and her wearing even a one-piece. Does a one-piece not... It doesn't cover up all that, does it? It doesn't. I know this. This is going over great. Amen. I know. I know that doesn't cover that. And them little skirts that go around it. My wife's got one. She wears them when we go. And guess what? We go to a secluded part. Whenever we go down to the beach, we go to somewhere secluded where there's no one around. And she can wear that. It's me and her. She's my wife. And we can go swimming. I can even take my shirt off and get in there. Amen. Look like a beach whale laying out there. There's nobody around, though. We make sure when we go. We rarely go. Why? Because most of the time there's too many people out there. And I don't need to see their nakedness. They don't need to see mine. And nobody's going to look at my wife's nakedness but me. And I'm not talking about her being completely unclothed. I'm talking about the part of the body that God described as being nakedness. But a swimsuit. So the Bible over there, and I can show you the verses if you want to get with me after church. The Bible goes into detail by saying you're not supposed to see them. And that means swimming. Whenever we go to youth camp, the boys go swimming with just the boys. The girls go swimming with just the girls. There's no mixed swimming. Why? Bible. That's not something they just made up. They say, oh, we shouldn't do that. No, it's what the Bible said. He said, you're not supposed to do that. All right? And I didn't have time to put that in the message this morning, but I can take you over there and show you. God gave them strict instructions on how they were supposed to behave themselves as a child of God. If you're lost, you know, and you're not going to get saved, do whatever you want to do. This don't matter to you. A child of God, but you need to get saved and born again, amen? But a Christian, somebody that's saved, shouldn't do like the world does. It ought to be different. All right, are we in Nahum? Y'all find it? All right, Nahum chapter 3, look at verse 4. Because of the multitude of the whoredoms of the well-favored harlot, we're talking about the harlots and whores here, the mistress of witchcrafts that selleth nations through her whoredom and families through her witchcrafts, behold, I am against thee, saith the Lord of hosts, I will discover thy skirts upon thy face. He took their skirts and put them up over their face. That's what he's describing here. I will show the nations thy what?
Nakedness.
Thy nakedness. What is it? The skirts. Skirts cover from the waist, what? Down to the knee, right? He said, I'm going to expose their nakedness. I will show the nations thy nakedness and the kingdom thy shame. Over and I don't even have a quarter of the verses for y'all today where the Bible refers to nakedness as being a shame. It ought to be shameful to be naked. I feel bad for people when I see them out at Walmart and see these different places walking the street wearing these little short shorts. Or seeing these ladies with dresses that are only half a dress. Amen? I want to ask some of them, did you get it off the half off sale? Well, see if you can get the other half on sale. Amen? You're missing half your dress, half your skirt. You know, I feel bad for them. The Bible says that's a shame. Amen? I don't have an attractive body by any means. Nobody wants to see that on me. Amen. But you'll see ladies, you'll see men, and they'll get into good shape, and the first thing they want to do is show it off. You know what that is? That's vanity. Ecclesiastes says, "Vanity of vanities, all is vanity," saith the preacher. You know what you're doing? You're drawing attention to yourself and away from God. When you dress modestly and you cover your nakedness, you are taking the attention off of you, and you're putting it on the Heavenly Father. Now, I'm not talking about wearing a sackcloth. Man, sometimes when you preach this, they're like, well, you just want your wife to go around in some kind of bread bag or sackcloth that just covers everything and just looks like, you know, an Amish person or what. That's not what I'm talking about. I think my wife dresses fashionably. She looks good. Amen? And I like the way she dresses and all those things, and I'm attracted to it, but it does not bring all the reflection on her. It's modest. Amen? Talking about the nakedness. Continue reading there. I will show the nation thy nakedness and the kingdom thy shame, and I will cast abominable filth upon thee and make thee vile and will set thee as a gazing stock. Let me help you, lady, young lady and woman here this morning. Men are perverts. A lot of men are perverts. And you dress the way that you do sometimes, and I'm telling you, you might not think anything about it, but you're causing people to sin. When you dress that way, amen? It's not right. You ought to cover that nakedness. It should be for your husband or your future husband. Amen? I used to hear a preacher say all the time, if it's not for sale, don't advertise it, amen? And you shouldn't. You should cover yourself up. You should take pride in that. As a young man, when I was praying about a wife and all those things, I'm telling you, whenever I saw somebody wearing skimpy clothing, you know, it might even be an attractive woman, I say, man, look at her. But you know what? That's not who I wanted for a wife. Why? Because I don't want my wife to be something that's advertised to everybody. Amen. I thought it was very attractive, and I was attracted to a lady wearing a nice pair of slacks or a nice long skirt, was covered up. Amen. I thought that was attractive as a young man. I like that. A lot of young men, they go and they look for a girl that's a good Christian girl that dresses right, and that's who they want to go after. And if they come after you and they come towards you, knock them right in the face. Amen. Say, go talk to my daddy before you come and talk to me. Amen. Go talk to my granddaddy. He'll straighten you up. And if he passes all the tests, then send him to the preacher. And then when he passes that test, then we'll talk about him talking to you. Okay, so back in 1 Timothy. Did y'all save your place in 1 Timothy? Okay, you don't have to go back over there. I need to hurry up here. Modesty. So we talked about nakedness. Number two, modesty. Modesty has to do with you identifying as a Christian. It has to do with you saying, I am a child of God. Back over there in 1 Timothy chapter number 2, look at verse number 9. Modesty does not bring attention to yourself. 1 Timothy chapter 2, look at verse number 9. 1 Timothy 2, 9. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in what? Modest apparel. With what? Shamefacedness. Back to that shame, not exposing. Your modest apparel should not expose any part of your nakedness. And the Bible refers to nakedness being, like I said, from the neck down to the knee. All right, shamefacedness with sobriety. That's seriousness. I mean, I see some people dressed today and they just look goofy. Don't look like a goofy Christian, amen? Sobriety, seriousness. Not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. So what does that mean? Don't dress to bring all the attention on you. Just dress nice. Men, just look decent. Amen? Dress nice. Man, when you come to church, you say, do I got to wear a three-piece suit? No, you don't have to do any of that. Dress modest. Cover yourself up. Don't bring attention to yourself. And that's what modesty has to do with. And I'm not talking about just on Sundays. Christians ought to do this every day of the week. You ought to dress modest. Ladies, you ought to dress modestly. Cover up your nakedness. Wear a blouse that every time you bend over, everybody doesn't see everything. Amen? Cover it up. I mean, that's what we're supposed to do as a child of God. Amen? All right? So there's three things when it comes to clothing. It's nakedness, modesty, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. I'm going to wrap it up. Number three is identity. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 22. This is the last thing we're going to cover, and then we're going to pick it up next week with the next subject. What I'm talking about this morning is the highest standard. Is the Bible, the Word of God, not our standard? This is my final authority. In all matters of faith and practice in my life for my home. If I see something that I'm supposed to do for my home and family, I do it. If I don't, I don't get the blessings of God. Amen? I'm miserable. You say, well, I didn't know about this thing. Well, now you do. Amen. What are you going to do with it? Deuteronomy chapter 22. Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 5. You say, well, man, I'm not going to be able to run down to the, I'm not going to be able to go to the beach and do all these things. What does the Bible say? Amen. Don't get upset with me. Go find you a private beach and get on there with you and your family. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 5. You say, what's my brother and sister? God dealt with that when they're of age. When they're of age, it is not going to be right for me to go swimming with my sister, according to the Bible. I can take you over and show you the verses where I'm not allowed to see her nakedness and she's not allowed to see mine. Amen? All right, Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 5. You say, what about little kids? They're not of age. They're not grown and out of the house. Amen? Go swimming with your family. Go do it. Go, you know. Deuteronomy 22, 5. Everyone there, say amen. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garments. For all that do so are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. He said, you're an abomination. Women, don't dress like a man. He said, is that specifically talking about pants? No, that's talking about your identity. Don't look like a man. Amen. Don't look like a man. If you're going to dress like a woman. Wear something that's nice, that you can identify. If I'm walking behind you in a crowd and I look up, I can say, that is a woman. Amen. And this definitely shoots all the cross-dressers down, man. I hope we don't got any of those in here. Amen. Trying on your wife's clothes when she leaves. Amen. Don't do that. Man, you ought to look like a man. If I'm walking behind you and you got hair down to here and you're wearing feminine clothing and you catch my eye and I'm looking and say, man, and they turn around and say, whoa, she's got a beard. That's a problem. It has to do with identity. Boys, don't wear lace. Amen. That's identifying with a woman. With this whole thing of clothing, Christian, you ought to have a high standard. Now, let me ask you this. If you see someone walking down the road and they're wearing a dress or a skirt, what's the first thing you're going to think? That is a what? A woman. All right? Now, sometimes, ladies, there's pants that you can wear that make you look like a man. You say, what do I do? Don't wear those ones. Do something different. Amen? And I know this is not popular. I understand. My wife, sometimes we do things, and I want her to wear a pair of pants because she is more modest in a pair of pants than she would be in a dress or a skirt. As a rule, she only wears dresses and skirts. As a rule, she does. Why? She's identifying as a woman. She's modest in those. They're not too tight. But you know, a woman can come in here with a skirt and be as immodest as a lady wearing a pair of pants. They can't. They could be too tight, too short. Amen. If I can read the label off of your underpants, they're too tight. If you put them on when you were 12 years old and grew up in them, they're too tight. That's not modest. Are y'all all right? The same for the men's skinny jeans. You'll never see me in skinny jeans because I can't get in them. Skinny jeans. Man, get you a pair of Levi's and a pair of boots and be a man. Amen. Amen? I don't understand. They got these new basketball shorts. There was some young men wearing them this weekend. You see them goofy-looking pants? They're sagging like way down here, but they're pulled up. I don't understand them, man. Look, I'm talking about modesty as a child of God, as a Christian. Identity. As a rule, my wife does not, and that's my wish, but she was like that before we ever got married. She said, I'm not going to do it. She wears skirts and dress. Whenever you see her out, I don't know if anybody in this church has ever seen her in a pair of pants. And it's not, she wears them sometimes because we do things. We go horseback riding or we go camping. I want her wearing them because she's more modest. If she's going to get up on the back of a horse in a skirt, she's going to show her nakedness. We go out camping in the woods and she's hiking. I want her in a pair of so she don't tear her legs up. But she still looks like a woman the whole time. She's wearing a nice blouse, and she there's never one time anybody looks at her and says, "Well, that's not a woman." I don't know what that is. Have y'all ever seen any its? There's a lot of them. I don't know what it is. I can't figure it out, man. As a child of God, it ought to be obvious. The Bible said that a man ought to have short hair. He ought to have short hair. A woman ought to have long hair. You know, the Bible talks about the glory. He said the glory of the woman is her hair. Having long hair. You said, does it got to be all the way down here? No. But when I look at you, I need to know that you're a woman. A man, I need to know that he's a man. He ought to keep himself cut, keep himself clean. You say, what about my kids? Man, I see sometimes they got kids, and they'll be 10 years old before they ever cut their hair, and their hair's all down here. And I know that mama does not want to cut that hair. I get it, man. It's, oh, he's a baby. No, he's 10. He's not a baby. I get it, man. Sarah cried when I took Elijah to get his hair cut. I said, he's starting to look like a little girl. Time to get the hair cut. I've got pictures. Come to my house, man. We had somebody come in one time and asked, is that a girl? Time to get the hair cut. Teach your young men, teach your young ladies how to conduct themselves as a young Christian lady. What do you do with a message like this? You either say, God, I'm gonna obey your word. This is what we're gonna do. You say, well, I gotta go home and throw out some clothes. I'm telling you, we do all of our shopping at Goodwill. We do. Amen. Now there's a very limited option at Goodwill for somebody my size. But we do. We find stuff on sale, and you don't have to make it. You don't have to live a secluded life and make all your clothes to live modestly, you can find them, and you can do it. You say, well, man, I got to get rid of this. You know, what about around the house? You're with you and your family. I'm not talking about that. I'm not intending to hurt anybody, but I believe it's my duty as a pastor to preach these things, and we ought to have a high standard as a Christian. Amen. Not just a high standard, we ought to have the highest standard. And all that comes from the Word of God. God has blessed our church. If you've been here for any length of time, you've seen the blessings of God in this place. We've seen people saved. We've seen homes put back together. We've seen some change from God. You know what I believe it is? It's not me. I'm nobody. I'm a sinner that's been saved by the grace of God, just like you. It's been He honors His word. God's blessed my home and family. It's not me, it's not my wife. We try to honor God's word in our home, and God blesses us. And when I give the illustration of my wife or illustration of me, I'm not saying that to brag one bit on either one of us. I'm just trying to prove to you that God's way is the right way, and God will bless your home, and He'll bless your family. We're not the standard. Don't measure your home and family against Brother Andrew and Sister Sarah. Measure it against the Word of God. Say, why is that? Because Brother Andrew could fall tomorrow. Sister Sarah could fall tomorrow. I'm not talking about falling down the stairs. I'm talking about sin and mess up and get away from God. It could happen just like that. But if you follow God, God is faithful. He'll never fall. He'll never falter. Let's all stand. I'd be amiss for not giving this invitation this morning. If God spoke to your heart, there's some that are coming. We're not going to have any instruments this morning. If we have a young person in here, why don't you, you might want to come down and say, God, I want to commit my life to you to live a pure life before you in every single way. We got some that have come to the altar, but if they're every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around, you might need to come down and say, God, there's some areas I got to do better in my life. Father, would you help me? There might be some here this morning, Brother Heitz. There might be someone here today who says, I have never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. Everything I preached this morning is unimportant right here at this moment when it comes to salvation. Where will you spend eternity? Hey, the way you dress is not going to get you to heaven. You could cover your nakedness. You could dress modestly. You could dress and identify as a man or a woman the way you're supposed to, but it will not take you to heaven. Not one way, shape, or form. The only thing that will get you there is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can take the Bible this morning and show you how you can be saved. If you'd step out from that pew and come down here, we'll get a woman. She'll take the Bible and show you how to be saved. If you're a man, we'll get a man to take the Bible and show you how to be saved. Would you come this morning? God's doing a work down here at the altar. If God spoke to your heart, Mom, Dad, it's not easy. I asked for the kids to go out of here this morning because this is a subject that you need to discuss with them. Because you know why? They're not going to fully understand. You might not have understood until we preached this morning, until I showed you from God's Word. Husband, might have to go home and talk to the wife and say, listen, we got to do different. Wife, you might need to talk to the husband and say, hey, we want to obey God's Word. We're going to dress different. We want to please God in every single way. God's still doing business at the altar. If you would, pray where you're at. Remain with your head bowed and eyes closed. Still have one prayer, and you remain where you're at.